Shazer mispalel shmone esrei. In one case, namely the Yochid says how many brachas in the shmone esrei? 18. Vizem mispalel tisha esrei. And in the other case, in the case of Tzibor, right, he prays 19 brachas. All right. So, at first blush, it seems what? What the Gemara is now going to say. My Yochid and my Tzibor. What is a Yochid and what is a congregation? So, Ilem or Yochid Mamosh, right? If we say that Yochid means taka an individual when he's praying, right, by himself, the Tzibor? But now you said, what is the Tzibor, the congregation? He says, Shatz? You mean the Shliach Tzibor? You mean the Chazan who's davening for the Amen? He says, Hanit Yeshai Esrei? You say he says 19 brachas? Esra V'yarba Hava, what do you mean? There are 24 different brachas. Now what is this 24? This already is a different story. As we're going to continue to learn Tanis, we learn that when things began to get rough, and you know, it didn't rain after the first fast days. So as we saw, there were how many series? There was three, right? Uh-huh. And then after that, three again, right? And then there were seven, right? So that gives 13 different fast days that they observed. Okay.
Right.
And in connection with the special fast days that were proclaimed, we see that there was a whole service that was proposed, and part of the service consisted of having separate brachas, more brachas added to the Shmona Esrei. So these brachas that were added to the Shmona Esrei by the Chazan, of course everybody answered Amen, right, to these brachas. So how many did they total now? Since there were six brachas that were added, so that therefore it comes to how many brachas? 24. So he says, how can you say then that Tzibor means 19 brachas, right? In other words, one additional bracha. It should mean 24, in other words, six additional brachas. So if that's the case, it would mean that if we're adding all these additional brachas, then the person who is observing a Tanis Yochid, in other words, he undertook to fast on a voluntary basis, he's accepting a fast day, and we give him permission to say Aneinu, why should he say simply Aneinu is one bracha? He should say all the additional brachas. This is the argument, right? Of course, we're going to knock down that argument. But remember, I mean, this is the way of Gemara. You make a statement, wait one moment. You got to prove that statement.
You got to have proof text.
All right. I have a different opinion as to how you interpret it and so on. Okay? So, Shema Minah, from this we learn that Yochid Kadeh Brocha Liyatzmai, right? That the individual can have his own bracha that he adds to the Shmona Esrei, even though he is fasting alone. I mean, it's not that he's fasting as part of a congregational fast, but as a voluntary fast. So that obviously is not a very satisfactory conclusion. So they say, lo, no. Don't understand it that way, but rather what? Li'olam, in truth, Eimo, I have to say to you, Eimo Lecho, I have to say to you that Shaliach Tzibor, that when it says Tzibor, it means the Chazan. So in other words, the Yochid davens only the 18 prescribed brachas, and he adds Aneinu where? In Shomea Tefilo. Whereas when the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei aloud, then what does he do? He makes it 19 brachas, and he says Aneinu as a separate bracha in, between Goel Yisrael and Refoid. Udekol Kasha Lechoa, and now that you ask another Kasha, namely about the fact that Shliach Tzibor Esrei Yarba Matzle, that the Shaliach Tzibur has to say 24 brachas in the Shmona Esrei. So they say the Gimel Ta'anias V'Shoynos, we're talking about what kind of a Ta'anias Tzibur? We're talking about the Ta'anias Tzibur wherein in the first series, and how many were in the first series?
18.
The first series was three fast days, right? And those three fast days, so the Lekha Esra V'Arba. And those we do not find that there are 24 brachas. As we'll study the Mishnah, you know, in the next chapter as we go along, and by the way, we're getting pretty close to it. We have maybe about two blocks or so before we finish the first chapter.
Yeah,
even less than that, okay?
Yeah.
So we see that there at the beginning of the chapter, they describe, you know, the special prayers that were added, including, you know, these 24. But the description over there, as we'll see, it's going to be debated over here. The description seems to fit better the last group of Ta'aniyos than it does the first three. Because in the first three, that whatever we've had mentioned so far in the Mishnah, there was no mention made of, you know, adding six brachas. Okay? So that therefore, that would rule it out. This is what he's pointing out over here. So they say, below? What do you mean, no? I have another statement to contradict what you said. We have a statement that says, Ein Bein Kotoni. We've learned that there is no difference between one and another, right? Now, what is the Ein Bein? What are we referring it to? So let's refer to the fact that Ein Bein Gimel Rishoynos, the Gimel Emtsoyos, there is no difference between the first group of three fasts and the second group, literally the middle group of three fasts, Elo, except that Sheva Elu Mutorim Basias Melocha, in the first three fasts we learned that work could be done, labor could be done. They did not prohibit it, okay? Uva Elu, but when it came to the second group, since, you know, the condition became more serious, so that therefore they said that you're not allowed to do Melocha. And of course we learned, when you're not allowed to do Melocha, we learned that applies to the daytime, but not at night. At night it could be done, but not during the day, okay? But the conclusion then, if we say that there is no difference between one and the other, then what do we have to conclude? So we have to say, ho, the chob dalit, when it comes to the business of making 24 brachas, right? In other words, all those additional brachas added to the Shmona Esrei during the repetition of the chazan, it says, zevezer shoven, there would be no difference between the first group and the second group, right? This is what we're saying so far. So Tana v'Shir. So he says, well, he mentioned certain things, but he left out mentioning some other things. So my Shir, what did he leave out? Shir means literally, you know, something other, you know. So he left out something. What did he leave out? He says, my shir, right? So he says, the high shir. Are we to say that this is one of the things that was left out? Visu, and besides this, v'ho ein bein kotoni. Didn't we learn ein bein, which would mean there is no difference? So he says, we're talking about two different things, apples and oranges, okay? Elo tano de isure komayere, bisphilos lomayere. He says, one statement is talking about what you are prohibited from doing. As for example, not to do any work. Where there is a difference, where in the first group of Taniyas you're permitted and the other one you're not. Okay? But Bispilos, when it comes to the prayers, Lomaira, he wasn't talking at all about that. So this is one explanation. The Yiboy Seymour, and if you wish, he says, maybe we can refer it to Be'emsa Yusuf, to the middle ones. Namiloy Matzli Chav Dalet. Maybe in those also we do not say the 24 additional brachas. In other words, when do we say the 24 additional brachas? only in the last series of the seven fast days that were proclaimed, because at that time it's getting very desperate, so we have to take more desperate measures.
Basically, there's no difference between the first three and the second three.
Well, we learned that
except for work.
Right, right. And then with work, I mean, we learned also, you know, that at night,
you're allowed to do that.
Right, work can be done. The question also that we learned is about the stores, whether the stores can be open or closed, and things like that. Yeah. Below, and no, the Tanya, didn't we learn, Ein Bein Gimel Shnios, the Shevach Ronos. There is no difference between the second group of three fasts and the seven that observed the last series of fasts. Elo, except for what difference? Sheba Elu Masriyin, that in this last group of fasts, then Masriyin, which we interpret as blowing shofar, we'll see that there is another possibility too, to explain what it may mean. Okay? Ben Noalin is Hachanuyos, and also they lock up the stores so that nobody will do any business. But Horachol Devrayim, but in any other respect, Zevezeshovin, they are alike. Well, if in any other respect they're alike, then at this point we should presuppose that what? That during the middle group of fasts, also they should have all the additional brachas, right? Chavdalet. So they say again, Bechi Teimo Hachinami, and if you say, yet, Hakazoi, hey, wait a minute. Tana Vishir, the author of the statement, he left out some of the things. He only mentioned one thing, but not other things. Didn't we learn that there's no difference? And it stands to reason what? Ein bein dafka. That why can't I presuppose that ein bein, there is no difference, means taka, there is no difference. Taka, no difference. We would say dafka means, you know, it's exactly, that's exactly the way it should be, okay?
No difference between
between the second and third, right, and that therefore what is mentioned concerning the third, namely the special prophets and so on, should occur in the second one, right? So they say, hey, wait a minute, the Hoshir Teva, they didn't mention something else over here. They didn't mention the fact that it's going to be mentioned in the second chapter, that as part of the service during the last group of Ta'anesim, they take the Oren Kodesh, the Teva, they take it outside of the shul and they put it into the public square, and there everybody gathers in order to daven. In other words, it's no longer, you know, davening within the shul itself, quietly, privately, if you wish. But actually, they went out into the public square, and there they carried on, you know, that because
the
Rabbeinu Shalom should hear the prayer and send rain, you see. And yet, it wasn't mentioned over here. So he says, Imishum Tabor, if you're talking about this, it's Lavshe Yurahu. It's not really something that was omitted. It was omitted for a different reason, he says. It's Mila Ditsina Kotoni. We learn things that are observed in private. And so the Teva is like a private observance if it is in the shul. But if you put it out in the public square, then it becomes Mila de Farhesio Le Kotoni. We didn't learn in this business over here about things that go on in public. There it's a different procedure. So Omar Rabashi said, Masnisa Name. Look, take a look again what our Mishnah has to teach us. Deka, you have to be exact in the language. Look at it carefully, he says. Dikotoni, we learned Ma Elu Yiseros Al Harishonos, in which way are the latter fasts more severe, shall we say, than the first fast? Elo Shebeilu Masriyin Venon Ezachanuyos, right? But for the fact, you know, that in the last group, they are Masriyan, in other words, they blow shofar and so on, and they lock up the stores, right? Avol b'chol divrehen zeveze shavin, but in all other aspects, they should be the same, right? V'chi teimor, if you should say, hachinama, tana v'shir, that here too, only one thing was mentioned, but other things were left out. V'homa elu katoni. So what we learn, what are these, right? But this Purana makes sense. Ma'elu davka means precisely this and not something else. Davkahu. V'hoshir lo teva. And after all, he didn't mention the word about the ark. So he says, imishum teva lav shiurahu. That's not why. Mishum dekachoshiv lo v'idich pirka. I guess a different reason why it wasn't mentioned. You know why he didn't mention it? Because he's going to discuss it in the next chapter. And so he didn't want to anticipate too much by giving it the whole... Right, giving the whole Megillah, right. So they say, all right, hashta de'os is l'hochi. If you come to this point already in your argument, that esrum v'yabro nami lav shiurahu, then in that case, the business about the 24 brachas also is not something that was left out. The Kotone Lo Beirach Pirka. Look, they first also mention it in the next chapter. They don't mention over here. So what kind of an argument are you giving me that it's going to follow in the next chapter? That's where we'll discuss it. All right.
He's trying to wangle out of it.
Yeah. So my Havama, so what do you do? What is the final conclusion? So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Sastrai, Sastratai. So Rav Shmuel, the son of Sosratai, it's a very unusual name, I don't remember seeing this name anywhere else. The Chenomah Rav Chia Bar Hashi, likewise Rav Chia Bar Hashi said, Omar Rav, in the name of Rav, he says, Bain Goel de Rofe, right? Rav says, where do we say it? We say it between Goel Yisrael and Rifa'inu, right? The Rav Hashi. But Rav Hashi said, Amar Mishpain the Rabbi Yanai, Bered the Rabbi Yishmoel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, the son of Rabbi Yishmoel, Bishoy Me'at the Pilon. Where do you say Anenu? He says, you have to say it in Shomeat the Pilon. Okay. Not as a separate bracha, right? But in Shomeat the Pilon. The Hilchaso and the Halacha is Taka Shomeat the Pilon. Now, of course, again, what we're talking.
Actually, what is the phrase Anenu? What exactly do we say?
Okay, take a look at the Siddur and we'll see what it says. It says, Aneinu Arishem Aneinu, answer us, O Lord, answer us, B'yom Tzom Taniseinu, on the day of our fasting. Okay? Ki Betzora Gedola Anochnu, because we are in great distress. Al Tefen El Rishenu, did not turn to our wickedness, in other words, did not pay attention to it. V'yal Tas Tefen Echem Emenu, neither hide your face from us. Nor should you conceal yourself from our petitions. In other words, listen to our prayers and our petitions. And be near to us as we cry unto you. May your loving kindness, be a comfort to us. Terem nikra elecha anenu. Even before we call unto you, answer us. Kadavoshanemar, even as we find in the Pasuk where it says, V'hoyotem yikro'u, even before they cry unto me, V'ani ene, I will answer them. Od heimedabrim, even while they're still saying these words of prayer, V'ani eshma, I already hear and understand, what their prayer is. Ki ato ad Hashem ho'nevi esora, because you, O Lord, are the one who answer us in time of distress. You are our Redeemer and you save us in every time of distress and persecution. Okay? And then, as I said, if the Chazan is repeating, then between Goel Yisroel and Foenu, he says this paragraph and he has to answer, Baruch Ator Hashem, Blessed art thou, Lord, Ha'oner B'Yesorah, who answers us in time of distress. Okay, so I just want to make a couple of more comments before it's time to begin davening mincha. The question here, of course, was raised concerning a yochid, about the individual. And as we explained it a few moments ago, we're talking about an individual who undertakes the fast for whatever reason may be. And therefore, since he is fasting the entire day, and remember we had a discussion, is a fast valid if it's only for a certain limited amount of hours and so on? And then we came to the conclusion that to really be valid, you should fast the entire day. Okay? So he is permitted, therefore, to say Anenu, even though what? Even though the congregation itself is not fasting. But because it is a fast day for him, therefore this is the prayer that he adds. But where does he add it? He adds it in Shomeiat Tefillah, because he is not allowed to make a new bracha by himself, separate bracha for himself. All right, so this is what we learned over there. Now, the truth of the matter is that this applies not only to the individual who is fasting for his own personal reasons for fasting. As for example, there was a custom in the old days that if you had a yahrzeit, you fasted on that day. Yahrzeit for a father or a mother, they fasted the entire day. Today you don't find too many people doing it.
Instead of sponsoring your breakfast.
Yeah. But I know one person who's still doing it. That's Phil Rosenberg. Phil may sponsor a breakfast, but he doesn't eat. He fasts that day. He still follows the old custom of doing so. I assume probably it was a family tradition. Maybe his father did the same thing. I don't know. It's possible. But as I say, this is still individuals who do that. It's not an accepted practice anymore, because I guess our generation is not as strong in being able to withstand fast as they were in those days. Okay?
Do they do it in Yerushalayim?
Well, there may be some individuals who do it, okay? Mm-hmm. But there are also fasts, as we saw, as for example, a Tanis Chalom. Remember we mentioned that. In other words, you have a very bad dream, you have a nightmare or something like that, and so you fast in order that the dream should not come to pass. Right, exactly. So, I mean, that would also be a case of individual fasting. And then, as we saw, there are people, you know, who undertake to fast every Monday and every Thursday during the course of the year. There are people who undertake to fast, let's say, during the 10 days of repentance, except for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They fast the other days, except for Shabbos too, of course, they're not allowed to fast. But the result is, you know, that they also wind up with 7 days of fasting or something like that, okay? So people do decide to have fasting for different reasons. But naturally, it's not a fast because you simply want to go on the diet, because then the meaning is lost, you see. The meaning of the fast is in order to make your soul a little bit better, so that, you know, you can do tshuva a little bit better.
Right.
See, this is the basic idea behind it, okay? All right. So, what is our procedure today? Our procedure today is that Anatanis Tzibur, and again, by that I mean specifically days like Shabbos Batamis, which will be coming up very shortly, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Atzorah B'Teves, and Tainus Esther. Those are the five fast days that we fast during the course of the year, okay? In addition, of course, to Yom Kippur. All right. On those five fast days, the Sephardim have a custom that they say Anenu in Shomeiat Tefillah to Ma'ariv, to Shacharis, and to Mincha. Okay? We learned in our discussion that to Ma'ariv, among the Ashkenazim, they do not say it. Shacharis, only the Chasim says it. Why doesn't the congregation say it to Shacharis? Because of the fear that, you know, maybe the person is not going to fast during the entire day. So that, therefore, where is the proper time to say Anenu, as far as we're concerned? The answer is to Mincha. By Mincha time, we know that we're going to see the fast through to its proper conclusion, and so that's the reason why we save Anenu for Mincha time. But the Chazal, as I said, says it both in the repetition during Shacharis and also in the repetition during Mincha. So that this is the way, you know, this is the custom that we follow here in our synagogue and that is followed in Ashkenazic synagogues. No, I think we'll take a break at this particular point. All right, so next week in Yitzhak Hashem, we shall continue. Now, David raised the following question this morning. He wanted to know whether, since we're now davening Mincha, they...
Where are we at now? Today is
June the 15th.
June the 15th.
All right, and we are now on Yud Dalet, Omid Aleph.
Oh, no, good.
Yeah, we're already about almost halfway down. Yeah.
Okay.
Want to shut it off for a second?
Sure.
All right. We are now on page Yud Dalet, okay, Ahmed Aleph, and we are approximately just a little bit before the halfway mark. And now they're going to discuss the problem about women who are either pregnant or who are nursing children, whether they fast and when they fast, or whether they excuse from fasting. So that is the question right now. So the Gemara begins by saying, Tani Chado, you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Tani means that we have a teaching, or a Baraisa if you wish, okay? There is a Baraisa which says as follows. It says, Uboros Amenikos. Ubor, in this case, usually the word Ubor means, normally means the fetus, usually.
The fetus.
But over here, it means, women who are carrying fetuses, in other words, pregnant.
Pregnancy.
This is the meaning of it over here, okay? The reason I say, because in modern or later Hebrew, it should really be mu'uberes. So it would be mu'uberos. But look, if this is the language of it, you have to remember, baraisa normally is whoever said it. So, you don't change the language just because in modern Hebrew it's not right. Can change sometimes if there's a conflict or something like that, okay?
Mm.
But Stam and the Veltarein, to go change.
So
right, that's all. So Uboros over here means pregnant women, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Umenikos, these are women who are nursing, okay?
Yeah.
So it says, Misanos for Rishonos, Veye Misanos Bachronos, all right? Which means literally, they fast on the first ones, meaning the first group of fasts that was proclaimed,
yeah.
Right? And they did not fast in the last group of the fasts. Okay. Remember that, getting back again, how many fasts could
three
be
sets.
Proclaimed? We learned 13.
Three,
and seven. Okay?
13 fasts
right.
altogether.
Right.
Six,
13
six,
altogether.
Three, six, and seven.
What about the fast of Monday and Thursday? That doesn't count.
That, as I said, this is already voluntary, the one that we observe today, if people fast on Monday and Thursday. But these were specially proclaimed fasts for the congregation, for the community, because of the lack of rain. This is what we're dealing with over here. But we also had previously in the other page, that if a person wants to undertake the fast voluntarily, so what rule does he follow? Does he follow the rule of, let's say, the early fast, wherein he's permitted to do work and things like that all night long, to eat and drink and so on and so forth? Or does he follow the rule of the latter fast, where beginning with sunset, you're not allowed to do any of these things? And we came to the conclusion that it follows the rule of the first fast, namely that he's permitted to eat, drink, etc., etc. It's only with the morning that he has to begin fasting and to fast the entire day. Okay? So this is what we decided at that time.
Right.
Yeah. And we saw, too, that that rule applies, as a matter of fact, also to what we call a Tanis Sibur, like Shivosava Thomas, which will be coming up very shortly, where we have to begin fasting actually from Amud HaShachar, which means from the time that the morning star rises. And so I had to sit down with my astronomical table over there, and I finally figured out that because of the date and so on, the fast would have to begin at 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course it ends, after sunset, you have to allow 40 minutes approximately, so...
It's a week from the Sunday.
It's a week from Sunday, right. But Saturday night, we can eat and drink all night long.
Until 4 o'clock.
Until 4 in the morning, right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the difference. It's not like Tisha B'Av, where you have to fast from before sunset to after the following sunset. Yeah. All right. So... One Baraisa says that women who are pregnant or nursing have to fast on the first group of fasts, and they do not fast on the
second
last group of fasts. What it means, we'll see, it's not as easy as it looks. I mean, there's what we would say with this pshat, what would be the simple understanding, and then we'll see how Rashi understands it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Tanya Idach. And then there's another Baraisa which says, in reference to the same thing, that says, Misanos Bachronos, they fast on the last group of fasts. The aim is on Borishonos, but they do not fast on the first group of fasts. Okay? Ganz good so far. All right, so all of a sudden now we have something else. Tanya Idoch, Now we have another one which says, Ein Misanos, they did not fast, Lo Barishonos, for Lo Barishonos. Neither in the first group of fast, nor in the last group of fast.
They're not obligated to fast.
No, yeah, no obligation. So we would say that the pshat is, what? That if you follow the last opinion, women who are either nursing or pregnant, right? They don't have to fast at all on these ta'aniyos, on these fasts which were proclaimed, you know, for the community because of the drought, right? But of course, this contradicts the other two, right? And of course, the other two contradict each other because one says Borishonos and the other one says Bachronos. So, what is the rule?
Is there any Baraisa that says they fast on both?
Well, say in this case the answer is no.
How about
you asked a good question.
How about the middle, the second?
All right. So Omar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, "Nikot emsa isa." Take the middle one, the yodcha, into your hand. Because if you take the middle group, then in that case, it would be satisfactory to all the other opinions. It would mean then what, from the point of view of halacha, that they fast in the middle group, but they do not fast either in the first
or the last.
So that fits in very well, provided, all right, but the last one, it fits in very nicely, because it says not on the first and on the last, but presumably in the middle one they do. Good, so that's fine. But what do you do with the first and the last? Well, one says that it, you know, you have to fast on the first, but not on the last, and vice versa with the other one, right? So the answer is, I give a new twist to the words, Rishonos and Achronos. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi right now and see what he says. Nekot Mitziyosa, okay. Nekot Mitziyosa Biodecha. You see that? It's opposite where it says Benichada. Okay.
Right.
It's Klome, he says, in other words, he says, Toritz answered that the Bisholosh and Soyos and the three fast in the middle, Hoyu Misanin, they would fast, right? Mitoretz is the Kohu Hanach Masnaisa. And also, this can solve the difficulties that we have with the Yadis. All right, in what way? It says, Ho de Kotoni Berishonos Vulavachronos, where we learned that they fast on the first group and not on the last group. So he says, Hanach Rishonos, this first group is Lav Rishonos. It's not actually Lav Rishonos Mamash. It's not really the first group. In other words, the first three fasts. And you know who they are? Elo Emsoios. Rather, he means the middle one. So you'll ask me, so how do you get that the first means the middle? So the answer is because the middle ones are first when it comes to the order of what are the last ones. In other words, as long as they come before the last ones, are you following me or did I lose you already?
As long as they come before the last ones, it's still
right,
it's one of the first ones.
Correct.
It's
so
one of the first ones.
By Rishonos, he means then the middle one, right? Means the middle ones, but he calls it Rishonos because it's before the last group, which is Achronos, okay? So that solves that problem, where it says that they fast on the Rishonos, but it doesn't mean the first three fast to begin with, but it means the middle group.
We need a legal opinion here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he says, right, Elen, so is, because... Okay. Right. To summarize very briefly, we started by saying that the question is whether pregnant women and women who are nursing are required to fast on these taniyos, on these fasts which were proclaimed because of the lack of rain. Okay?
Right, okay.
And there were three conflicting statements, three conflicting baraisas that they had. You know, this one had a tradition, the other one had a tradition, there was a third tradition. So the first one said that they fast on the Rishonos, but not on the Achronos. Okay?
I remember that there were three different fasts. One was for
three and seven.
Right. Okay.
And of course, the severity of fasting increases from one group to the other.
The seven being the 24-hour cycle?
Yes, and also the fact that there's special prayers and so on, like they take out the ark
into the public square.
Public square and things
so
like that.
So one opinion held that the Rishonim was required, but not the...
That they have to fast on the first, but not on the last, okay?
Okay, right.
Another one comes along and says that they fast on the last, but not on the first. And then the third statement says they don't fast either on the first or on the last. And then along comes a statement which says, that being the case, take a look at it very carefully and you come up with the conclusion that they do have to fast on the middle ones. And that satisfies everybody's opinion. Because
that's the second set of three.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. But not the first or the last.
Not the first and not the last. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Miller, are women obligated to fast as much as men?
Not to the same extent, but they are.
They still are.
The answer is it depends, frankly, on the state of their health.
Okay.
This is, of course, one of the aspects, whether they're nursing, in which case, obviously, they need whatever strength they have.
But if they're in good health, they're obligated.
If they're pregnant, again, it would really depend what stage of pregnancy and how easily they can take a fast when they're pregnant. Okay. Yeah. And then, of course, the same ruling would apply to people in general who are ill. If a person is ill, then he's not required to fast. Okay. Because, I mean, the illness, this would depend, you know, what is the nature of the illness, how serious it is, and so on. Yeah.
Today, the women's attitude is, you're excluding me.
No, but women are required. I mean, I can tell you, I my daughter, my daughter-in-law, my granddaughters, I mean, they all fast. They all fast.
So who came with the conclusion?
Well, religious missionaries, it's not a question of the equality. I think that their religion just seems...
All right, this is Rav Ashi who comes to the final conclusion. He says, Nekotem so Yuso. Yodeku, he says, literally, take the middle ones in your hand. In other words, understand that as far as the middle ones are concerned, that's the answer. The Mitotzen Kulu, because then... They're all self-explanatory as a result. Okay, which means that they fast. All right. So now Rashi is trying to explain this. All right, and he says that we know that there are three sets of fasts. Right. All right. Then he says Hodakatoni Borishono Isulubachronos. That statement where it says that they fast on the first group and not on the last group. So he says Hanach Rishonos La Rishonos Mamishninu. It doesn't really mean the first three. Elam so Yusin. But rather the three fasts in the middle. Why? The in who have a rishonis lachronis, because they are first when you put it next to the last.
That's right. Then we need a legal opinion. I think he's really
first when you put it next to the last.
Right.
He's really stretching it a bit.
Yeah. You're not first when they put it next to the last.
He's trying to make peace with all these opinions. Abaldi says, Bisheva.
You know, Abraham Lincoln had an answer for Rashi. Do you remember his famous story that he?
Let's
see if I can remember this right. He asked for a vote on some important measure.
Yeah.
All right. And. He had like four people that voted for the measure, and he voted against it.
Yeah.
So they said, "Well, that's it. You know, it's 4-1." And he said, "No, not really, because it's like an animal that has four legs and a tail. Calling the tail the fifth leg doesn't make it so. I'm the president. You four fellows are in the cabinet." And my vote prevails. And it's sort of the same thing here, because those are the emsaim are next to the acharonim. To say that they then become the rishonim, that's like calling a leg a tail. It doesn't make it so.
But there's
who might
logic
argue
to
this.
Rashi, there's
right?
a logic to
Rashi,
it.
You can be sure that Rashi also probably had the same problem that I have understanding the text, the shot of the text. Right. But this is how it gets around it, because of the fact, I mean, that Rav Ashi says, in other words, the middle ones, that would satisfy everybody.
Right.
But how can it satisfy everybody? So he explains, because first doesn't mean first, it's only first in relation to the last, and of course vice versa, what? Last. How do you explain that, where it says that they fast on the last ones? How can you say that the middle one is the last when we know that there are seven afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Right. So what does he do with that?
Okay.
So, all right, let's take a look.
What does he say to that?
About the Shevach Reinais, we are continuing first of all with the first explanation where it says, you know, that they fast on the first but not the last. Why don't they fast on the last? About the Shevach Reinais, Lai Misaner. On the seven last ones, seven, you know, the final fast, they do not fast. Why? The Kevin, the Sheva Ninhu, inasmuch as there are seven fasts in a row, so Lo Motsu Boris Benikos. So it's impossible for women who are pregnant or who are nursing to put up with it. They can't stand fasting so much. Okay? All right.
That's so 7 days in a row?
It's not 7 days in a row, but it's Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, or something like that.
Between Thursday and Monday is only 3 days.
But, it's a lot of fasting to put in, and obviously it's going to have a deleterious effect.
Okay.
And these women are, after all, there's another life that's involved over there, too. So that's why they don't have to fast on the last. All right. Now he says, and now, how about where the statement said that they fast on the Achroinos, and the last ones, right, the Lobo Rishonos? So he says, Hanach Achroinos. When it says the last ones, he means again, Emsoyestinu, means, last means, middle.
Middle.
Okay?
So the audience ends up in the middle.
The last of the
lesser fast.
Right. The Horishonis, Rishonis Mamash. And in that case, then, the first Haka means the first group. In other words, the first three. Whereas the middle one he calls last. Why does he call it last? Because it comes after
first.
All. Remember, the word Achron in Hebrew, which means last, but it's related to the word Achar, Acharei.
After.
Now the question is, so why don't they fast on the first three? If you follow this opinion, right? So he says, the ein misan behen, they do not fast on these first. Why? The loy takif rugzo kulehai, because the situation has not been so serious up to this particular point. In other words, the first three are, there's a drought, but they haven't really felt the full severity of the drought, so that therefore they are excused from fasting on these days. Okay. Now he says, "Bitzachas loshen hu l'tano l'mikli emsoyes v'shoynes v'achrins v'achrins v'shoynes." He says, and it's only the "Bitzachas loshen" means literally like the flow of language that calls, that causes the tana. In other words, the person who made these statements, to call last first and first last. Okay. But now we understand what they're saying, okay? All right. Tosfos, of course, tries to carry on the same idea. They're trying to explain Rashi, okay? The first few lines I can skip because he's only repeating what Rashi has said, quotation. All right. So Rotzel Nomar says, in other words, okay, you see the Tosfos says to Nichada, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm skipping about the first five lines because he's only repeating what Rashi has already said.
Okay.
So he says, what's the limit? He says, the Haim Rishonis. He says that the Emsois, the middle ones, are first to last ones, right? Shehoyu Chamuros, because the last ones are very severe. Avaloi Bachmanus, why don't they fast on the last group of fast in the Fishri? Because they're too much. They're a lot. Lemotsu Abdilu, right? And the women can't abide by it. The Ode Katoni Bachmanus. And as far as the next statement, where it says the Achronis, the Lobo Rishonis, that they fast on the last ones, so Hay Achronis Hani Emsoyus. So as we see, the Achronis really means the middle ones, the Kori Luhu Achronis Shem Achronis Mino Rishonis, and he calls them last because they are last compared to the first. So he says Batchilo Gozvin Sholish Taniyus. All right. First of all, they proclaim three fasts. Okay. The Chaim Bashnia, and likewise in the second group, Sholos, there are three. Avol Ein Misanos Barishonos, Shehen Kalos. They do not fast on the first one because the rules there are not quite so severe, and so therefore we're not going to bother the women to fast at that particular time.
Pregnant.
Pardon me?
Pregnant women.
Yeah, the pregnant and the right. No, if a woman was neither pregnant nor lactating, as we say.
Lactating.
Have you ever heard the expression?
Yes.
Yeah. So in that particular case, she would be obligated to fast. As long as she's an adult woman, there's no question about it. Yeah. All right, and how about where it says, you know, that neither on the first nor the last? In other words, it says, lo b'sholosh harishonos harishonos mamosh, not on the first 3 days, first three fasts, and meaning the taka of the first three, but lo b'shavachmanis v'achronos mamosh, nor on the seventh, meaning the seventh taka, elo davka b'emtzeris, but it's only davka, it's just in the middle ones that they have this obligation. Okay. Well, as I said, I mean, obviously, if a woman did not feel well, or whatever it may be, you ask a shayla, and you could be excused and passed.
Well, Rav Ashi really settles the argument.
With the others, I mean, you know, the other fast, they wouldn't even have to ask a shayla because the rule has already been laid down. It's only in the middle. Yeah. All right. Bye. The Mishnah then says, what is the difference between, you know, the new group of fasts as compared to the previous fasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says over there, Ma'elu Yaseu Sotarishonos, right? This was what the Mishnah, quoting the Mishnah, said. In what way are these more than, in other words, more severe than, okay, the first ones? Elo Shaba'elu Masriyin, Vino Alin Esachanios. But as we go on, so a new element now comes in, Masriyin, which means literally they blow truah, right? Although we'll see that it's going to be disputed now. And Noel and son is that they have to lock up the stores, actually. Okay? So now the question is, B'mai Masriyan. How do you carry out this Masriyan? And remember, the word Masriyan is related to the word truah. The question is only, what does truah mean?
We say it, but we don't know what it is.
We say it, right. So, of course, the way we understand truah, we understand it in this, you know, in terms of the another possibility of the word truah.
Yeah.
The answer is, sometimes they translate it in the English translations of the Bible as to make a joyful shout.
Well, they say crying.
Yeah.
Oh,
cry.
Haria.
Right. Haria, Hashem, right? Come and let us sing unto the Lord. No, Riyadatsuyashenu, let us sing for joy or shout for joy, you know, to the rock of our salvation, okay? And there are other places too, you know, where we find that singing and trua, you know, happen to be related to each other, okay? So that's another possibility. So we'll see how they interpret the word, all right? So, at any rate, the Mishnah says, B'mai Masriyin, you know, the Mishnah says that Masriyin, so B'mai Masriyin, how do they do this? So Rav Yehuda Omar, it's b'shofaros. He takes it literally the way the average person understands, right? That Masriyin, but he said you have to blow shofar. Okay. But Rav Yehuda b'chayd Rav Shmuel bar Shelis mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda and the son of Rav Shmuel bar Shelis had said in the name of Rav that Omar, he said ba'aneinu. He says that they have to say aneinu. All right. So of course, again, we're going to ask the question aneinu. Yeah, we all know Aneinu. Aneinu is what we say in the Shmoneh Esrei, right? So we're going to discover that Aneinu over here doesn't mean that.
Huh?
It's a different Aneinu. Okay.
Yeah, hear us, hear us.
So that's why, you see, thank God we have Rashi. So we can see how Rashi understands it. I mean, look, I'm not... I may sound a little bit... believe me, Chas V'Shalom. I'll never in my lifetime know even 1/1,000,000th of what Rashi knew. So, I'm not making fun, but a little levity.
Levity,
even our sages occasionally would joke too. Maybe it was lots of times you have to have a little break.
Break, sure.
Yeah. All right. So, at any rate, one says with shofar, right? And the other one says with aneinu. All right, so the Gemara continues. We'll get back to the Rashi soon. All right, it says, Kosal kodateh, you think that mando mabaneinu lo mabashofros? Do you mean to think that the person who says that trua means aneinu? So he says, not with shofar, right? Umando mabashofros, and the one who says that, you know, masriya means you have to blow shofar, so lo mabaneinu, he doesn't agree that you have to say aneinu? Behold, Tanya, didn't we learn what? That in Poksin Mishevata Niyos Alatzibur, that they do not have any less than 7 fasts that are proclaimed for the congregation, Shebehen Yudches Hasros, and in them we find 18 blowings of the shofar. Okay? Now, what is this based on? So let me explain this right now. We'll learn as we go on in the Masechta over here, beginning with the second parak, where they speak about, you know, what happens in the seventh, you know, the last group and so on, that I already mentioned that they take out the ark into the public middle square. Of the public square, right, and they have their prayers. But I also mentioned, too, that there are additional brachas that are added, of which our Anenu that we say, when the Chazan says Anenu on a fast day, is the only relic, so to speak, of those days when they had additional brachas that they added. What the brachas were, we'll see when we get to that particular point, okay? But also, at the conclusion of those six additional brachas that were added, so they would blow shofar. Now, naturally, how do you blow shofar? It says trua, right? But what does trua imply? Trua implies either what we call trua, that's the whole machlekes in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah as to exactly, you know, what is it. You know, what is trua? One says it's 9 staccato, right? Another one says it's 3. And so this is the reason why on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, we blow how many times?
3.
Yeah, but one of them is called Shavorim, the other one is called Trua, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we have this combination. Why? Because we're not sure whether the Shavorim is what is the real Trua according to the language of the Gemara, or whether the Trua is. So therefore, in order to be sure, we blow both a Shavorim and a Trua.
The Trua is 3 and Shavorim is 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the law in Rosh Hashanah too is also specific that whether it's one or the other, but you have to have pshuto lefonecha, pshuto achrecha. In other words, you have to have one solid sound before and one solid sound after. In other words, what we call tekiah. Okay? So in other words, if they're going to do it six times, at each one of, you know, at every bracha they're going to blow the shofar, right? So they have to blow tekiah, Trua, Tekiyo, or as I said, whatever, you know, Trua means in the Gemara, okay?
Right.
Let's take it in our sense, okay? So it's Tekiyo, Trua, Tekiyo. And then the next time around, again, you know, Tekiyo, Trua, Tekiyo, and so on, so that if you multiply 3 sounds by 6, of course, we come up with 18. So this is what it's saying over here, that at the time and the fast, you know, that the last seven of the fast that are proclaimed, so they have to add 18 sounds of the shofar. And then it says, V'simen l'dovar yiricho. And the simen, in other words, a good device for remembering the fact that you have to blow 18 is yiricho, Jericho. What it is, I'm not 100% sure myself, unless you say that Yericho has the word chai in it or something like that. So therefore, they divide 18.
What did Rashi say about
but,
that?
Well, Rashi takes a different interpretation. He says simply that just as Yericho, they walked around seven days,
times,
if you remember,
seven,
right?
Seven,
and then on the last time, last day, they went around 7 times blowing shofars and so on,
right.
And then, of course, the wall fell. So, in other words, what he's saying is that the blowing of the shofar helps the Rabbeinu Shalalem decide, you know, to make a good judgment for the people of Israel and give them rain. This is how he understands it, okay? So that's how Rashi interprets it, alright. But, you know, I just don't see exactly the mnemonic device. I mean, that it indicates 18. This I haven't quite figured out yet. Unless...
Well, 18 is a magic number.
Well, that's why I said maybe there's some sort of a remnant in that. But Rashi is not interested in that particular thing. All right. Anyway, Momagain Vaita with the Rashi now. Okay? Because I said, you know, I want to go over the Rashi here. All right. So we're up to Bashofros. You see that?
Yeah,
Shofros. He says, Hoyo Osen Hasros. In other words, with shofars, they used to do this Hasroa. In other words, the what we call Trua, right? Or Masriyan, in other words, Hasra'ah, in this case, is the noun from the verb Lahasriya, Masriya. Okay? You make lots of nouns in Hebrew. We have what we call Mishkalim, which means that you have certain fixed ways of creating nouns out of verbs. Okay? I'll give you a couple of examples. First one, I mean, you have, for example, verbs that we call call verbs. Okay? Which is the most common way. So from them, what we do is to have a yud in the middle and a hey at the end. This is the most common one. So if, for example, if the word is, let's say, pa'al, right? So from this we have pi'ilah, or something like that, okay? And of course, from the word taka, to blow, from this we get what? Takia. Okay, so this is one way of making nouns. For pl verbs, words like diber, so they create the noun differently. From diber you have dibur. Siper, sipur. Limay, he taught, so from this we have the word limut. So this one, alright, now what do you do with hifil verbs? Okay? With hifil verbs, you do it in the sense like hafala. Alright, so that way, if the verb is lahatriya, lahasriya, right? In that case, it gives us hasra'a. So exactly how Rashi coins the word, there's no problem, okay? And they're the same thing, for example, let's say lahashlich is to throw, so hashlacha would be like throwing, and so on and so forth, okay? So he says then that with shofars they would perform these acts of hasra, right? Well, they're shown hasra, and he says the language of hasra is kamo trua. It's similar to the word trua. In other words, it means pretty much the same as trua. With stam trua and the ordinary trua, we've learned that it's pshuto leponeho, as I said before. A one solid sound has to be blown before it, right? Well, la'achareh, and one afterwards. Masechus Rosh Hashanah, this is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses that. The ahochi, masrim v'shofaros. Now, we have now come to the conclusion then that how do they make hasra? That they have to do it by blowing shofar. Kidichsiv, as we learned, it says, uskatem b'chatzotz rots, right? That you have to make the sound on chatzotzrots, which means literally trumpets. Upon trumpets, and of course that already creates another problem, because the question is, are trumpets shofars or shofars trumpets? Okay? So he says, token but shofaros, but anyway, Rashi is not interested at this moment in discussing that part. What he says, what you have to do is to blow the shofar. In other words, it's katabatzotzrots means blow shofar, right? In order that their hearts should become subdued at the sound of the shofar. In other words, when they hear the shofar blowing, then in their hearts they'll do tshuva. Understand? Mm-hmm. And they will retreat from the sins that they have committed. Alright, now he says, v'ashesh brachos, and for the six brachos, shohoyu mosifin v'yom ha'atanis, that they would add on this fast day, hoyu token al kol bracha, they would blow for all of them yevava achas, one yevava shehen yuches hasros, which comes out to 18. Yevava we hear is it's like the synonym for either the trua or the shavarim, as we said before. Okay, all right. So this is what Rashi has said so far, but now along comes Rav Yehuda, and what does he say? He says, no, he says, Masriyan, right, that means Anenu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means Masriyan Anenu b'kol ro, well, let's say Masriyan Anenu, period, okay? He says, b'kol rom, with a very loud voice, hoyu tzawakim, they would shout out, Anenu, answer us, Ovinu Anenu, O our Father, answer us. Anenu Elohei Abraham Anenu, answer us, O God of Abraham, answer us. Anenu Elohei Yitzchak Anenu, answer us, O God of Isaac Anenu. Anenu Elohei Yaakov Anenu, answer us, O God of Jacob Anenu. Hakol, all of these, Kefi Shomrim B'Sof HaSlichas, as we say at the end of Slichas. Avol Anenu Tfilas Tanis, but the Anenu that we say, you know, on a fast day, you know, in the Shmona Esrei, a fast day, Omer Afilu Barishonos, right? He says, even in the first group of fasts, because there it wasn't required to do this taking out the yark and blowing shofar and so on, but they still had to say Anidu and Nishma Nesbe. And he says, Vakila Yochid, and even an individual has to say it, as we've already discussed before, that the individual who fasts, whether it's voluntary or as part of a congregation, he has to say Anidu and Nishma Nesbe. All right. So this, we already said, so Kimna, we've established that particular Anidu, the Omra Bishamayat Fila, right? He says it in Shamayat Fila. With Fila, Korilei Hasra. And now, as Rashi, prayer itself is called Hasra. The Ibishofaros, Marian, Meboilei, because if it were with shofars, then they would have to say Marian and not Masrian. In other words, the verb that usually refers to blowing shofar is the word Maria, and not Masria. Okay? So that
the
therefore,
I have with all this that, so I'm sorry.
I just want to say that Rashi now is explaining the view of Rabbi Yehuda that the word, you know, Masriyan does not refer to the blowing of the shofar, but it refers instead to crying out aloud Anenu. And which Anenu? So not the Anenu that we say in the Shmona Esrei, but the Anenu which is added towards the end of Slichas. If we take a look at any of our Slichas book, if you remember, towards the end, we have this prayer. Anenu, right? Ovino Anenu, Anenu Avraham Anenu, Anenu Pachet Yitzhak Anenu, etc., etc. Okay? So that
throughout the liturgy.
Right. So he says, then the verb would have been marine and not masrine if it meant specifically blowing shofar. Uman de beforesh Anenu, shel tfilas tanis. And the one who explains that it's Anenu of the Shmona Esrei of Tanis, Mishtabesh. He's making a mistake. He's in error, says Rashi. The Hokatoni Besomuch, because right next to it we learn Shehein Yudches Hasros, that because it comes to 18 Hasros. The Korporuch, and then he says, Min the Simon Ledover Yericho, right? And then he adds that the Simon for this is Yericho. Now he says, "V'im Isa leforech behedyo yudches tefilas rosh shmona esrei brachos miyikah b'shevet haniyus," and he says that if you would say specifically the shmona, the 18 prayers mean the shmona esrei, that's not what it means. He says, doesn't mean the shmona esrei brachos, because on these 7 fasts, how many brachos are said in the shmona esrei? It's 18 plus
1
plus 6.
Plus six.
We're talking about in those days, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
18 plus 6, which means 24. So that being the case, then it cannot be that, okay? So therefore, it cannot mean Anenu that we say in Shmona Esrei. So this is how Rashi rules that out, but instead it's the Anenu that we say in Slichos. This is what they would shout out, okay? All right. But then as we saw, they then question, does the person who says the mean shofar rule out Anenu? And does the person who says Anenu rule out shofar? Right? So he says, well, Tanya, right? That, you know, the similar dover is the fact that Yericho. The Yericho is... all right, so anyway, he answered that obviously in Jericho they had to have blowing of the shofar because it says so, right? But now they say something else. He says, "V'yavicho shofar as hava." Tell me, at Jericho, did they have shofars? Of course, they had shofars. But the question is, was it with horns?